Hello, everybody, and welcome back to SoulSpeak. I'm your host and founder, Sheldon Pisnet. And in this session, we're going to be talking with Svava Brooks about how to live from the heart, not the hurt, which is just an amazing talk title, Svava, first of all. Little background on Svava. Svava Brooks is a survivor of child sexual abuse and the co-founder of a nationwide child sexual abuse prevention and education organization in Iceland called Blot Afram. She's also a certified instructor and facilitator for Darkness to Light Stewards of Children, as well as a certified crisis intervention specialist, a certified positive discipline parent educator, a Bellinet teen support group facilitator, a certified TRE provider, and an abuse survivor coach. The mother of three children, Svava has dedicated her life to ending the cycle of child sexual abuse through education, awareness, and by helping survivors heal and thrive. She's also a friend and a colleague whom I admire and respect, and I'm so grateful to have here and play with her again and be of service to all and anyone who can benefit. Hi, Svava.
Hi there. Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
Great to have you here. Great to have you. So why don't we talk a little bit about what it means to reclaim our birthright?
Wow, that's a big question. Well,
narrow it down.
Yes. Well, to claim our birthright, well, just a quick like how I got to that realization was, for some reason along the way of this challenging life that I've had, I realized that I did come into this world to learn about love. And the more I fought, I would say fought, it was a lot of fighting for how to heal and restore myself in the beginning of the healing journey, I also started realizing more and more that, you know, living wholeheartedly and finding ways to peace and joy and gratitude was actually what I was hardwired to do. Like, my biology, my body, mind, and spirit really was, you know, that, like I said, that I came into this world with the ability to have all that. But because of what happened to me, I got disconnected and distracted and set off on a victim path, so to speak. But the healing journey, the restoration journey, has really brought to my awareness and my deep inherent knowing that we are, all of us humans here, connected to Source. And our birthright is to stay open and allow the flow of that love and light and abundance and grace to be in our life every single day, moment to moment.
Sounds easy enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, uh-huh. Easy enough, right? Wholehearted. Well,
right.
It was a declaration when I realized that. Like, wow, no, I'm not supposed to be struggling. I'm actually. It's easier to live and be happy and to focus on gratitude and joy and how much I can love. That actually became easier. Doesn't mean that I don't have my, you know, life brings us all kinds of opportunities for learning and growing. But, yeah, this is my birthright. So peeling back how to get back to this, because I think I came in, like I said, with this knowing. And I remember as a little girl standing in the chaos of my childhood and my family, like realizing that, wow, if this is what being on this planet looks like, I'm not so sure I want to be a part of it. But, and I think I intentionally shut it down. I intentionally shut the light down. Like, I could not access both worlds, like be in the knowing of the truth and this powerful light that I brought in and all the drama and trauma and anguish. So in order to survive, because I was in this body, I shut it down and chose this path until I was ready to awaken to this truth again.
And how does that process work for you and for the people you work with?
Well, basically, just to kind of, lay the groundwork here, is that, most of my clients are obviously survivors of childhood abuse and trauma, even though that is kind of, I get all kinds of people now that just recognize that they're stuck with some kind of hurt from their past. Basically, we have to understand that we are multidimensional beings and that what trauma is and what it does to us, to our biology and what it does to our as mentally and spiritually. And so by understanding it, and for me, a lot of this, of course, I did because I was, really searching, far and wide to how to heal myself because, my body being this beautiful, amazing thing that we all have is hardwired to protect us. It's hardwired to survive any challenge, any trauma, any upset, chronic stress. You don't have to look far to see that all around us. It's amazing what we can endure and go through. But I really had to, instead of just maybe do the mental health aspect of healing, I really had to also understand what the impact was on my biology. And that was, I think, for a very long time, the missing piece for me because it's in my biology, accepting my body and understanding my nervous system and how my brain is, like I said, hardwired to protect me. It's the same nervous system, the same body, the same connection to source that kept me safe, that is also going to help me to heal. And so helping my clients understand how to do that, understand trauma. I mean, we have lots of research right now on the impact of trauma and chronic stress on our body and our nervous system. So understanding that, and then understand the importance of self-regulation, understanding how to make peace with our bodies, how to engage and accept our bodies as partners in this healing, because where we carry the pain in our bodies, right, that's where we feel things. It's not up in our head where we feel things. We actually feel things in our bodies and learn how to safely express our feelings instead of turning them against ourselves. We learn a healthy way to express them and get it out. And by doing that, we develop, mindfulness practice. We connect with our body and, like I said, express our emotion, and then we learn to understand how our body feeds information to our brain. And unless we choose, what we're going to do with the information coming from our body to our brain, we will usually turn it against ourselves. So to make selective choices about our thoughts, where are they coming from? Why do I believe and think this? Is this really serving me? Does this come from my childhood or my pain? So changing those negative beliefs. And then we do a lot of self-care, because self-care is the path to self-love and then self-compassion. And then we build a support system around that. I think I gave you the lowdown here really quick.
You did. It all sounds so great. I love it.
Good.
Yeah, I've had about 20 questions as you went through that.
I'm sorry. I know.
No, that's
I go
okay.
Off on
we
tangent.
Can circle back. You did beautifully. That was beautiful. And I'm sure like most of the audience were like, oh, tell us more.
Yes.
So,
go for it.
Well, okay. One question that's still jumping out at me is, can you give us an example of how people can turn it against themselves?
How we turn the hurt against ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thoughts, the hurt.
Yes.
Just that
problem.
And maybe give us a contrast.
Well, it's that the truth is, if we are still hurting today because of something that happened in our childhood, we are still living out of that truth. We keep reinforcing the story. And for me personally, the story was, I'm bad, I'm stupid, I'm broken. And so I kept looking for evidence of that hurt all around mm-hmm. me. And like being married now for 23 years, very blessed to have a supportive husband that has helped me and been my rock through all this. But for a long time, even being married and having three kids, I always had this thought pattern going on in the back of my mind. It was just waiting for the other shoe to fall. And so I was living, you know, in this world of waiting for the worst thing to happen, even though I kept, you know, I would go to him and he would come to me. It's like, Sava, I'm not going anywhere. I love you, honey. Oh. So inside, I kept looking for the proof that if he only knew the truth, if he only knew how bad I was, if he only knew how, you know, shameful I am because of the things that I had done. So I still kept living out of those, even though it had long since happened. So I was still, that's me turning, like treating myself the way maybe somehow for some people it is the abusers, you know, treated us. So that is how we end up using it against us. And what does that mean then? Then we also feed the belief that we are not worthy, that we're not lovable, that we're not good or kind. And when we're all those bad things, we self-harm. We self-sabotage. We stay get disconnected from people because who wants to get to know a bad person, right? We don't open up for friendships and connections.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then people can sometimes feel like I'm not, you know, gosh, almost like confused, like, when they hear where we're coming from, and I have somewhat of a similar past. I mean, my own traumas and, you know, those, I share some of those same, wounds that I've worked through and continue to work with. And people, you know, have said in the past, gosh, I just don't see that. You know, it's like they those hurts and those wounds, even though those filters seem so real for us, on the outside to others, they can be really surprised that we're even perpetuating that or thinking that.
Yes.
I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely. Because okay. it becomes so normalized for us. It becomes so normal. It's out of our scope of awareness, right? And that's, you know, kind of what I talk about, the biology of protection and trauma for me was, you know, even growing up in a very abusive household, I did not know that this was abuse. I did not know this was normal. I thought this is how, you know, parents treated their kids. So it's like, you know, to understand, you know, why we do what we do. Why do we think the way we think? You know, question those thoughts and beliefs. And often the path to that is by, you know, like I became my own parent and protector. I became the parent and the protector that I needed. And only by doing so, and I had to do it gently because I resisted the love because I didn't think I was worthy of it, but with self-kindness, I slowly and safety, right? Your body, your whole being will not reveal more information than what you are ready and equipped to handle. Yes, do we sometimes get kicked in the butt? Yes. It's like, you've circled through this story enough. Okay, I'm going to remove the you know, the veil here. This is the truth. And then we get to see, oh, wow. You know, there was so much that I didn't know that I didn't know. And so slowly I had to be willing and open to learn new things. And it helped to do that, to be compassionate towards myself. Like, no, I wasn't stupid. I was just doing the best I could to be safe, to feel safe in a very traumatized body, in a body that I didn't even safe inside of this body, let alone in my childhood, in my closest family. the people that were supposed to teach me about love and intimacy and safety and, you know, close connections, those were all the people that did the most damage. So I didn't trust anybody. I didn't even trust myself because I was taught to distrust myself. So establishing that, like you said, those patterns that are so ingrained into our molecules almost, that are just like feeding you this, that no, you cannot have that. Like, no, this is the truth. It's that we really have to be vigilant about choosing. It's like, why do I think this way? Why do I feel this way? Where did this come from? Does this serve me? And it's like, it's really simple. Either I'm here open and learning, or I'm closed and defending. And that usually tells me where I'm coming from, which part I'm operating from. And usually if I'm wounded and protected, I'm operating usually out of my wounded self or my little girl, my hurt little girl who, you know, has her armor on and is going to push people away before she gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But my loving, kind adult grounded self now, the parent that I have become, I can feel her now when she comes up. Like she came up this morning, you're going to go talk about our past and on a radio show or in an interview? What do you mean? People shouldn't know that.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my next question, and I felt like my next door to open here for all of us is that this is not a destination.
No.
So she got a little scared.
Yeah, she does. And that's where I have loved to be kind and gentle with her instead of like, stop it. You know, what do you mean? It's going to be okay. It's like, no. Oh, sweet girl, of course you're scared. Yeah, this feels risky. I understand. But it's okay. I got this. Remember, I'm the adult here. You're just going to go into your fairy world with all the animals where you feel safe and protected and happy, and I'm going to take care of this, okay? It's going to be all right. Sheldon is such a good guy. We're going to be fine.
I think all of us just got very soothed by that. That was such a lovely demonstration. I know I did.
Good. Good. Yeah, so this is how I've learned to talk to her, like really bring in my mothering and my nurturing. And this is, like I said, how I became the mother and the protector. I can also bring in Mama Bear, you know what I mean? She's also right here, so I needed to, tap into her. But this is how I've learned to soothe those hurt little girls inside of me, because there's more than one. That, you know, we're so hurt, and I've had to sit with them, and they've told me the truth, and they've told me how hurt they were. And I've like held them and rocked them and stroked their hair and like, yes, I know. I'm so, so sorry. Oh, wish I could have been there and done something about it then, but I'm here now.
Yeah, the demonstration of that loving in real time is very palpable.
Good, good. No, I get that from my clients too, because we don't know what this feels like, Sheldon. I had no idea what it looked like and felt like and sounded like to love Svava. I had no idea. But now I do. So the most important thing I do now is love me.
Yeah, there we go. We had another colleague whom you probably know on the show who, I think, what was her quote? Oh, we're either, our intention either is to protect against pain or to learn how to love ourselves. And you know what is fitting even maybe a little twist for myself, and I'm kind of curious what your take on this is, Baba, is I am either protecting against pain or learning to be love. So
yep.
What happens for you as you love all of these parts of yourself? You know, what are some of the results or the shifts that are tangible? That this might seem like an obvious question to a lot of folks, but it might not also to some.
Mm.
What are some of the ways someone's life changes?
Well, it's almost hard to put into word, but it's profound, the connection that I feel now through love, because now I know how to love myself and how much I respect myself and my body and all the things that I've gone through. My self-care is, a high priority, because I know within me, when I'm in balance and grounded and rooted in my truth, I am a vessel for love. And what's been sometimes overwhelming is the amount. How do you want to learn, but how much can you tolerate? How much love can you take in?
Mm-hmm.
And it's for me, it has all been about, my body is an instrument to serve, because this is like what you just heard me do when I talk to my little girl. This is what I facilitate and show my clients how to do. And it isn't until I know how to access that for me that I can, share it openly. And I also know, for my family, because my trauma is generational. This didn't just start with me in my childhood. And I have two adult daughters that I had not healed a lot, by the time I had them. So I can still see some of the trauma in them. But the more I continue to heal and restore and really allow through self-care access to the vibration of love, the more I am freeing up my children from carrying.
Which is just a remarkable thing, isn't it? I never get amazed talking about that and hearing about that, how we shift things intergenerationally. Svava, what are some of the ways that you practice self-care, or that you facilitate your clients in practicing self-care to be open to the vibration of love, or however you said that was beautiful?
Well, you have to start where people are at. And I talk about loving action, loving action, nothing. And that's like thriving, living wholeheartedly. Healing is a lifestyle. Thriving is a lifestyle choice that I make every single day when I wake up with gratitude. My self-care practice, I start with gratitude practice, just, before I even put my feet on the ground, I'm grateful for being here, for my body and my health. And I meditate, almost every morning for 30 minutes at least. I do chakra meditations. I'm very attuned to, energy now in my body. And I also do some type of physical exercise, ranging from walking out in nature. I love being in nature. And one of the things that I teach my clients in the beginning, who maybe even resist self-care, because it's hard to love something that feels unlovable and we're still attached to the pain and the story of it. And it's okay. I understand it. I don't judge it. But I invite them that we want love and support. So when you go for a walk out in nature, when you put each foot on Mother Earth on your walk, know that you already are practicing faith and trust in something, stronger, higher than you, because Mother Earth meets you every step of every day when you're out there walking. But be open to the fact that she's sending you energy up through your bottom of your feet. And just simple mindfulness practice like that, can add to something that you're already doing. Also putting your hand on your heart, There is scientific proof, right, that we actually will stimulate the good, feel-good hormones in our bodies and our brain by just the physical presence. Holding physical presence for ourselves is a simple practice that I teach my clients. Even while you're brushing your teeth, just put your hand on your heart and feel that warm support that you are here. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And your body, your shoulders will drop just with that simple saying and feeling the warmth of you being there. And inside of you are those little girls or those your inner children. They will feel and notice, wow, she's paying attention to us. Woohoo, somebody's coming. Exactly. It's like the person mm-hmm. we're all waiting for, the rescuer we are all waiting for is us.
Yeah.
And so this self-practice. So I hope that, you know, helped you a little bit there. And then also my healing journey has, you know, brought me to a place of being a vegan. I feel very connected to all animals now. And so it's been about 2 years. And so I eat very, very well. As much, you know, green and alive food as I can, and have eliminated all animal products out of my diet, and so has my whole family. So it's been a very rewarding journey for us as a family.
Wonderful. Sounds like a very inspiring family journey.
Thank you. Yeah, it has been. Like I said, it's of course, we have our, you know, life always brings us challenges, but we have the tools, and we don't live in secrecy and silence like the kind that I was brought up, which is toxic. I have taught my children and I've given them permission to speak and to ask for what they need, to openly question things, openly, you know, question authority. Even when they're out in the world and out of my house, they know I'm always going to support them. And of course, they're not, you know, going out there bullying people, but I invite them to question the rules and how we do things. Is this really, you know, serving you, and is this serving everybody? And I think it's been really, really rewarding to see that, you know, my kids are starting into their adulthood way ahead of the game than I ever was, because I was in college when I started my healing journey. But, yes, my girls especially do have some healing, you know, to do from their bodies, the energy, the vibration they were born into my physical vibration being, you know, was still very tight and traumatized, but they've gained a lot of tools and a lot of skills. And that's where, you know, the going through understanding, you know, my developmental journey helped me facilitate or do a little better job with their, you know, developmental journey and learning how to become a good parent, because I had no idea what a good parenting looked like. And again, learning how to love me, because I had three kids looking at me. What does it look like to be a loving, kind, generous, wholeheartedly living adult? I'm their model. I'm under a microscope 24/7.
That's an important point. Even when we're not watched or looked at, it's all energy. So.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Well, gosh, it's always so great to be with you, and I'm so happy you took the time to come on the show and play with all of us and share your wonderful experience. And
thank you just so much for having me. I love your work, just your spirit. I think the first time you and I met, I'm like, huh, there is something here. You feel those connections, and we're definitely on the same wavelength here, sweet brother. So
we are, soul sister. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So well, let's talk about what's coming up next for you, what you're up to, how people can your free gift as well, and how people can dive in a little deeper with you.
Sure. Thank you for asking. Yes. Basically, let me start with my free gift. Kind of on this journey, you know, when I was shifting from, you know, being the victim to survivor to thriver, and definitely, let me just, you know, really affirm, we cannot skip, you know, acknowledging being victims before. We have to really heal and go through some of the hard stuff to start the surviving and then into the thriving process. And I started looking for, like I said, the wholehearted living, you know, how does that look like? What does that feel like, right? I'm a very tactile learner, and I couldn't find those resources. So I wrote a book, basically a 365-day guide to thriving after trauma. And it basically includes a little truth, a little bit of nuggets each day for people that inspire you to think about certain aspects of your healing journey. So came out at the beginning of the year. I'm getting really, really wonderful feedback. And those were the affirmations, the things that I started living out of that really helped me shift my behavior patterns, my thinking patterns, my belief patterns. So and so to the listeners, I'm actually giving you a two-week a guide from the book. So 2 weeks excerpt from that book to show you how to begin that process. Really excited to share that with you. And I think you're going to provide a link to that, aren't you, Sheldon?
We are. It's right there on Claim Your Free Gift. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I think I'll take head over there and take a look.
There you go. Thank you. I think you would like that. And so what else am I up to? I'm writing another book that's coming out later this year, of course, once you start, you know, realizing how books can help people. And I'm reaching people that I maybe wouldn't reach with my one-on-one coaching. I also do online groups. I love groups because we get to mirror back or see ourselves in other people. You know, I was in a group for 5 years when I started my healing, and so many things, you know, were brought to my awareness that I like, for me, I thought I was just a control freak. I thought that was just one of my personality traits. But In a group, I started realizing, wow, no, that's a trauma symptom. That's like a big red flag that you're a trauma survivor. You're very controlling. You need everything to be so, and because that's, you want to feel safe, and you can't control things that are happening on the inside, but I'm going to control everybody else around me, right? So right. I love groups. Love groups. I think we heal faster, and also it's the community that we need. We need people on speed dial when we have those triggers or those moments where we need that extra support system, because most of us are very isolated in our trauma. And then I also write. I have a weekly blog that I post every week, so people can find me on my website, educateforchange.com. So it's educate4change.com. And there you can also sign up to basically get a blog announcement every week and a sign up for my newsletter. And so, and me and like so many others out there, I'm starting to do more Facebook Live things. So if people want to find me on Facebook, I'm very, this fall and into the next year, going to be doing a lot more live events on social media. So I'm looking forward to that. And always talking about how to move forward. We don't dwell on the past. We can't change it, but how is it showing up today, and how can we really take those lessons, those beautiful, powerful lessons, and instead of living out of them consistently, right, not live out of the hurt, but really start to facilitate the change and start to live really out of our hearts.
Woohoo! And yay! That feels great. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to our audience as well, participating in this community of learning, growth, and support. I feel very blessed to have you as well as Svava here with me. So thank you on a personal note. And Svava, any last words for our audience?
I just wrote a blog that went out this morning, and I already got an email back from it, and it's about believing that you can heal. And we have to surround ourselves with people that believe in us. And I was lucky enough to have a couple people like that at the beginning of my healing journey, and that's the thing that I hold a space for a lot of my clients until they believe in themselves and believe that they can heal. So believe you can, because I'm a walking proof. You can heal, you can restore, you can live wholeheartedly. So don't give up. I believe in you, always.
Nice. Thank you. Well, with that parting lovely energy, we will say adieu and tune in tomorrow for the next show. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.